Today's daf is Bav Metzia daf Peches. We left off at daf Pei Zayin and Beis. Today's shir is sponsored by Charles Gershbaum. The Zechus of Refuah Shleima for Sarah Rosa Bas Pesha. The Zechus of our learning, she should have a Refuah Shleima. And we thank Charles very much for the sponsorship we're holding. On daf Pei Zayin and Beis, we are at Vahashta, about six lines before the end of the skinny lines. And the Gemara is in the middle of discussing how we know this din, that a poel, that mina Torah, a poel is allowed to eat from the produce with which he is working. So we were discussing yesterday how we know that a poel who works on mechubar is allowed to eat the fruits once it's detached, once he detaches, once it's already a gemar pri. Now the Gemara is going to darshan each phrase in the pasuk about a poel in a vineyard, because it turns out that once we already have the drushos we discussed yesterday, we don't need a separate pasuk to tell us that a poel is allowed to eat in a vineyard. We already darshan from the pasukim yesterday, from the drushos yesterday, that a poel is allowed to eat in whatever type of produce he's working with, grain or kidneys or vineyard, doesn't make a difference. So what do we derive from the pasuk about a poel in a vineyard? We're going to break it up phrase by phrase and derive many different halachos from that pasuk. Then the Gemara is going to quote two different opinions about when produce becomes chayiv in maestros. When do we assume that it now is tevel and you're not allowed to snack on it anymore? It is now chayiv in maestros. And the Gemara is going to question both of those opinions from the Braisa about a poel eating in the field. The Gemara in Amud Beis is going to tell us the din that a poel is pater meiser is only a din midrabanan, and the pasuk that seems to indicate that it's true is not really, is only an asmachta, and really teaches us that lo sachsum doesn't apply to human beings. That we know by a shor, there's an iser, lo sachsum shor b'disho, you're not allowed to muzzle the animal while it's working. No such iser when it comes to human beings. The Gemara is going to have two more challenges to the opinions about when the Chi of Meiser begins, and then it's going to have three possible sources for how we know that an Adam can eat betalush, that a person who's working in the field is allowed to eat from that produce which is detached from the ground. And then we're going to quote sources for how we know that a shor is allowed to eat b'mechubar, is allowed to eat from that which is attached to the ground. I mean, from the Torah itself, we only know that an Adam is allowed to eat b'mechubar, and a shor is allowed to eat betalush. So the Gemara is going to work on Amud Beis of how we know that the reverse is also true. So let's begin Vahashta, about six lines before the lines get wide. Vahashta denafkalan mecharmesh umekama kisava b'kerem reyach lamali. Once we have the drushes that we had yesterday that teach us that a poel is allowed to eat from the field, no matter what kind of field it is. So what is kisava b'kerem reyacha? What does that teach me? What do I derive from kisava b'kerem reyacha? Meaning I don't need it to teach me that a poel is allowed to eat. So I'm a Rava lil chosav. Rava says you have to break it down phrase by phrase to derive a variety of halachos relating to this idea that a poel is allowed to eat. Kiditanya, like the Braisa elaborates, kisavo nemar kan bia v'nemar lalan lo savo lav hashemesh. It says over here a lashon of kisavo, and it also says when it talks about a worker and paying a worker on time, that you have to pay him on time, you shouldn't wait till the next day, lo savo lav hashemesh, that the sun shouldn't set and rise the next morning without you having paid him yet. So mala alon bepoel akos medaber, afkan bepoel akos medaber. Just like that pasuk is clearly talking about a poel, so we know that our pasuk about a vineyard is about a poel, that the focus of the pasuk is a poel in the vineyard and what he is or is not allowed to do. So now, knowing that as the baseline, that that's the subject of the pasuk, we go further in each phrase in the pasuk. Bekerem reyecha velo bekerem kuti. First we darshan that bekerem reyecha, it says in the end of the pasuk that when you're in kerem reyecha, you're not allowed to put the food into your kli, vel kal yichalo titein. So we darshan, yeah, when you're in kerem reyecha, you're not allowed to pocket all the fruit, you're not allowed to put the fruit into a kli, but not bekerem shalkuti. Bekerem shalkuti, you are allowed to put it into your kli. Over here, kuti doesn't mean dafka a kuti per se, it means all gayim, that when it comes to a kerem of a guy, you're allowed to put it in your kli. And that's how Rashi understands that it's kerem shalkuti, you're allowed to put it into a kli. So the Torah is machmer and a guy that your apol is allowed to take from his peros and put it into a kli. That's how Rashi seems to suggest. The Ritva, however, says that in the Ritva he suggests that the Torah is coming to be makel on the guy and to say that only by a kerem Yisrael is a pole even allowed to eat. By a kerem shel guy, it's asr even from to eat anything. Meaning, here's what we know, that when it comes to a kerem reacha, when it comes to a kerem of another Jew, you're allowed to eat, but you can't start pocketing it. You can't start putting the fruit in your kli. And we know that a kerem of a guy is different. So Rashi says, in what way is a kerem of a guy different? You could do more. You could even pocket it in a kerem of a guy. Says the Ritva, no, a kerem of a guy is different in the opposite sense, that you can't do more. You could do less. You're not even allowed to eat, let alone put it in your kli. Says Gemara, Hani, Chalaman Yamar Gezel Kuti Aser. Let's say this the way Rashi would understand it. I understand very well if you assume generally Gezel Kuti is Aser, and without the pasuk we would have Asered the Poel putting the peros in his kli. Hainu Disrachal Lemishri Poel. That's why you need a pasuk to tell me that since he's a Poel, he's allowed to put it in his kli, because otherwise, generally speaking, Gezel of a Kuti is Aser. Alaman Yamar Gezel Kuti Mutter. But if you hold Gezel of a Kuti is Mutter, Hashta Gezela Mutter. Poel Mibai. If even Gezel is mutter, you need to tell me that a poel, that there's a need to tell me that it's mutter for a poel to put it. Of course a poel is allowed to put it in a kli. So that can't be what the pasuk is teaching me. If anyway Gezel Kuti is mutter, the Ritva obviously needs to be gori something a little different over here, because the Ritva holds that by the guy we're being more machmir on the Jew, that he's not allowed to take anything. So the Ritva has a girsa, hanich lemad yamar Gezel Goy aser. That if you say Gezel Goy Aser, so the drasha, the brisa, is that by a kerem shel goy, the poel is not allowed to eat anything. So the Gemara's kasha is that if you hold that in general Gezel of a goy is aser, I understand that why, even though over here the Torah asks the poel to take anything from the goy, since he's not mitzuva like a Yisrael to leave food for the poel to eat, therefore it's like Gezel. But if you say that Gezel Goy is mutter, why would the Torah ask or the poel eating at all from the guy? What would be the problem of the poel eating from the guy? That's how the Ritva understands the Gemara's kasha. So says Gemara, okay, but either way, whether you learn like the Ritva or whether you learn like Rashi, you need to resolve, what do I need this pasuk of Kerem Re'echa for? So Mukim La, B'Kerem Re'echa V'lo Shel Hegdish. No, this pasuk of Kerem Re'echa is to teach us a different din of Kerem Re'echa V'lo Shel Hegdish. But dafka by kerem re'echa, you're allowed to eat, but if it's in a kerem shel hegdish, you're not allowed to eat at all. Tosus points out, the salka daitach kiechi d'shori rachmana isur gezel sho'ochel mishal chavero, hachna v'yav mina d'shori b'shal hegdish. That one might have thought that since the isur of gezel is apparently allowed over here, so there would be no isur of mi'ila either. That one might have assumed that the two are bound with each other, that the two are connected to each other. So that's why I need to be told, no, it's kerem re'echa you're allowed to eat from, but kerem shel hegdish is still off limits. Continuing in the pasuk, the achalta, the pasuk says, v'lo motzeitz. You're allowed to eat, but not motzeitz. What does motzeitz mean? Says Rashi, hayayin v'zorek hachartzanim. That one is not allowed to suck out the wine and throw away the chartzanim, the peel and the whatever's left over, the guk that's left over of the grape, after one sucks out all of the juices of the grapes. So that's what we say, you're allowed to eat, but you cannot be motzeitz. Now there is a discussion in poskim. If a person is motzeitz a pri, let's say you take an orange slice and you just, instead of eating it, you just suck out the juice of the orange. What bracha do you say on that? Is that orange juice, which is shahakol, or is it eating a pri, which is ha'et? What bracha does one say when you just suck out the juices of a pri? So from Tosos it sounds that we're memayit metzitza, because metzitza is kishtia, and it's not included of the achalta. From Rashi it sounds that the mashmos of the achalta is anything that's ro'i le'echol. So prichadosh in Shuvas be'er mayim in Shuvas mayim chayim simen zayim quotes the lashon of our Gemara, and he says l'chor it's mashma that mitzitza is not called achila, and because our Gemara says you're allowed to be ochel but not motzeit. So apparently motzeit is not achila. That's not the same as eating a fruit. Then he says no, even if you say that mitzitza is like shtia, but at the end of the day shtia is bechal achila as well. So a man of nafshach, whether you consider mitzitza achila, you consider it shtia, how could be mimayit mitzitza from the pasuk v'achalta? Meaning, even if you want to say, okay, so mitzitza is not achila, so it's shtia, but then still, how does our Gemara work? Our Gemara is saying from v'achalta, we are mimayit mitzitza. Well, shtia is also defined as achila normally in the Torah. So how could it work to be mimayit mitzitza from v'achalta? So he says it has to be that we're being mimayit from the extra word in the pasuk, that it has to be coming to be mimayit mitzitza, not from the mashmaus of the word achila. So you can't really derive whether mitzitza is achila or isn't achila from our Gemara. You just see that there's an extra word in the pasuk, so it's coming to be mimayit mitzitza. So, but generally mitzitza might be considered achila and not shtia, and therefore says the pri chadash in his tshuva, someone who sucks lemon juice out of a lemon or any other juice out of a fruit should say birchas hapri, should say bar priya eitz, and it's not like me peros bialma. However, in the tshuva simrei bina, he has kashas on this pri chadash from the pashtos of the tosos, which sounds like the mitzitza is like shtia, which would mean it would be a shahakal. In the ben ish chai in parshas masai, he paskins that someone who sucks an orange or a lemon in a way that he's holding it in his hand and he's sucking from it and he's not chewing on it, so that has a din of shtia. But if he's chewing on it with his teeth and sucking out the juices that way, so that would have a din of achila, meaning it really depends on the act that he's doing. If his mouth is functioning the way it would while he would be drinking, then it's shtia. It's about his maisa. If his mouth is functioning the way it would while he would be eating, then it's achila. Even though in achinami he's not eating any solid foods, but if he's using his teeth to chew on the orange to get the juices out, that's called achila. That's what he suggests. And it all depends on the maisa of the person. Says the Gemara further, anavim, the pasuk mentions anavim, so we darshan velo anavim v'davar acher. Yes, anavim, but not if you're allowed to have anavim when you're in the vineyard, but you're not allowed to start dipping your anavim in other things and having a whole making a whole meal out of it. Kenafshecha, kenefesh shel balabais. It says kenafshecha, meaning that the poel is eating similar to the way as the balabais would. Kenafshecha shel balabais, kach nafshecha shel poel. In what sense? Ma nafshecha ochel upater, just like the balabais can eat and he's pater from maisra at that point in time, af nafshecha shel poel ochel upater. So to the poel is allowed to eat and he's pater. We don't say that since he's eating as part of his wages, Rashi points out, so it's like a mekach, and mekach is koveya lemeiser. When a person purchases something, that's koveya for a chiv meiser. So too, the something that's not nigmar melachto, that once you once you sell it, it's achshavei. We don't say that the poel still has a din, just like the balabayas would, that it's not considered a gemar melacha yet, and therefore he's allowed to eat from it, even though shumas meisers have not been taken from it. Sav acha velo achilagasa. What is he allowed to eat? He's allowed to eat to satiation, but he's not allowed to eat achilagasa. Achilagasa is apparently would not be called an achila in this sense. Says Tosfos, ilav diksiv savacha matinon mivachalta achilagasa. Had it not said vis savacha, I would have excluded from viachalta achilagasa da achilagasa lo shma achila. Meaning, anyway, I would have known that he's not allowed to do an achilagasa because the Torah already used the word viachalta. Problem is, I would have used up the word viachalta to teach me not achilagasa, and then I never would have known the din about mitzitza, about sucking out the juices. So that's why I need the pasuk to teach me over here that savacha v'lo achilagasa, even though in achinami v'achalta would have already taught me lo achilagasa, because achilagasa is lo shma achila. It's not called achila. Now Tosfos and Nazir Daf Chav Gimel points out, not so pashut that achilagasa is not called achila. There are different types of achilagasa. Trei mine achilagasos yesh. There are two types of achilagasa. There's achilagasa where a person is full and he doesn't really need to eat anymore, and that's one type of achilagasa. But then there's an achilagasa where he's so stuffed that the thought of more food sickens him, so that kind of achilagasa is not called achila at all. But maybe the first type of achilagasa would still qualify in some way as achila. So that's what Tosfos discusses. to deal with a stira in the Gemara is about the nature of achila gasa. Okay, well, kali chalotitain pasuk goes on b'shash atanos in the kev shal balabais ata ochel. So long as you're putting food into the kelim of the balabais, you're allowed to eat. U'b'shash yatanos in the kev shal balabais yata ochel. But if you're not putting food into the kelim of the balabais, rather you're still in the stages of weeding or working on the ground itself, you're not allowed to eat yet. It's only toward the gemar melacha that you're allowed to eat. Period. Amar b'yanai. The Gemara is about to quote a machlokas. At what point do we assume things become produce becomes chayiv and meiser? When do we assume that it now becomes tevel and one may not partake of it at all without taking trumas and meisers first? Amar b'yanai, eina tevel mischayiv b'meiser at sheyira pnei abayis. Tevel is not chayiv and meiser until it has re'iyas pnei abayis, meaning it has to be brought in through the doorway, which is the pnei abayis, and it has to go inside the house. Shenemar, because it's a pasuk. Pasuk says Biartia Kodesh Minabayas. Pasuk says Biartia Kodesh Minabayas, which makes it sound like that the Chiyuv is only once it enters into the house. The Rashba explains in the Chuvin, Chelgal Simshin Samachal, that the Drash is from the Lashon Biartia Kodesh Minabayas, that it's not Kodesh until it's Ikonis Labayas, until it goes into the house. Shach explains that it's from the fact that the Biur has to be from the Bayas. Who said, why would the Biur have to? Biur means you've already distributed all the Chumas and Maestros appropriately. That's the Biur. Get rid of it. Well, why does it have to be from the Bayas? Maybe the Biur should be from the Sada or from the Chatzar. Ooh, from the fact that the Biur has to be from the Bayas, that shows you that the only way you're going to be able to do Biur is if it already became Chumas and Maestros. That can only happen in the Bayas. You can't do that before it's in the Bayas because the Gemar Melacha, the actual Chiyuv, only sets in when it's in the Bayas. So that's the opinion of Rabbi Yanai. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Afilu Chatzar Kova'as. No, it doesn't even need to go into the Bayas. Even being in the Chatzar makes it an Achilas Keva where you're going to be Chayiv and Meiser. How do I know that? Shenemar va'achlu b'sha'arecha v'saveyu. From the Lashon of Shar, we darshan that as soon as it enters into the Shar of the Chatzar, at that point, it's already Chayiv and Meiser. Now, the Tosos in Dibra Maschal Ad points out that even Rabbi Yana is moda that a Chatzar is Koveya midrabanan, because it says that way beferish in the Mishnah in Mesechas Meisros, Paragimel Mishnah Hey, the Chatzar is Mechayiv b'meiser, is any Chatzar that Kelim are Nishmarim b'tocha is Mechayiv b'meiser. So everyone agrees that on some level the Chatzar is Mechayiv b'meiser. Over here the question is, Mida Oraisa, what's Mechayiv and Meisros? That Rabbi Yochanan says, yeah, the Chatzar works on a Doraisa level, and Rabbi Yanai says that no, the Chatzar only works on a Durabanan level. Mida Oraisa needs to go actually into the house. Frak the Gemara, what does each one do with the other one's pasuk? Rabbi Yochanan Ami Yoksiv Min Habayis. Doesn't Rabbi Yochanan acknowledge that the pasuk says Min Habayis? So, what role does Bayis play if it's already Chayv Maestros Midal Reisa as soon as it's in the Chatzer? So, Amalach Chatzer Dum Yod Habayis. It's Chayv Maestros when it's in a Chatzer that shares some characteristics with a Bayis, meaning it's only a Chatzer that's Koveya, but the type of Chatzer that's Koveya is a Chatzer that has some characteristics that are similar to a house. In what sense? Ma bayis hamishtamer av chatzar mishtameres. Just like a bayis, by definition, is a makom hamishtamer, a person wouldn't have a house that doesn't have a door that closes. A house has to be a makom hamishtamer. So too, the type of chatzar that's koveil lemeiser is only a chatzar mishtameres. It's only a protected chatzar. So like our front yards, l'chora, would not be considered, unless you're gated, you're fenced in, our front yards typically would not be considered a chatzer ha-mishtameres. Rabbi Yanai nami haksiv b'sha'arecha. What does Rabbi Yanai do with the pasuk b'sha'arecha? Doesn't that imply that even the shar ha-chatzer is already kovei l'maiser? Homi ba'yilei d'ma'ayilei derech shar la'afukei derech gagos v'karfifos d'lo. That's coming to teach me that it only becomes chayv and maisos if you bring it in the normal way. You bring it into the house derech shar, as opposed to bringing it through a skylight or something like that in a highly unusual way, where at that point it would not be chayv and meiser if you bring it in such an unusual way. The Rashba points out, Rabbi Yochanan doesn't disagree with that. He also darshans from Bisharecha that chatzar is kovei l'meiser. It could be he learns two dinim, that both chatzar is kovei l'meiser and it has to be derech sharecha, that it can't be brought in an unusual way, that it's only a Pesach Hashar. But that din is also agreed upon by everybody. Masiv Rav Chanina Chazaa. So the Chanina Chazal asks on both of these shittos. We had only two opinions of when the Chiv Maaser begins, either when it's born into the Chatzar or when it's born into the Bayis. So I asked Rabbi Chanina Chazal, wait a second, let's go back to our discussion. We had quoted in the Braisa, Kinafshecha, that when the Poel is eating in the field in which he's working, he can eat Kinafshecha, so we dash in Kach Nafshel Shel Poel, that the that just like the Baal HaBayis eats, the Poel eats in a similar way. In what sense? That man Nafshcha ochel pater upater af nafshcha shel poel ochelu pater. That just like if the Baal HaBayis were eating from the field, he'd be pater from meiser. So to the poel, if he's eating from the field, he's pater from meiser. So it says the Gemara halokeach chayiv. The implication is that someone who's buying the peros from the Baal HaBayis would be chayiv in meiser, because apparently buying the peros is koveya a chayiv meiser. My love basada. So isn't that talking about where the poel is working in a field, and from the fact that the Torah has to tell me that a poel is excluded, that a look, and therefore we are able to derive that a lokeach is chayiv in meiser. Where is he chayiv in meiser? Even in the field. Now buying something is no stronger than a gemar melacha. So you see that a gemar melacha, if buying something would be mechayiv in meiser in the field, Gemar Malacha in the field should also be Mechayiv B'Meiser. Akash on both Shittos. Both Shittos said that Gemar Malacha is not enough. You need to then bring it into the house or bring it in at least to the Chatzar in order to be Mechayiv B'Meisos. Yet over here we see that a Gemar Malacha in the field is enough to be Mechayiv B'Meisos, because if selling it in the field is enough to be Mechayiv B'Meisos, Mistama, Gemar Malacha in the field is enough to be Mechayiv B'Meisos as well. That's how Rashi understands the Gemara's Kasha. Amarav Papa answers the Gemara. Amarav Papa, Hach b'teino medes begina v'nofa nota l'chatzar askinan. Who said we're talking about in the field? We're talking about a fig tree that's in the garden. It's in a gina, and the branches of the fig tree are branching over into the chatzar. And Rabbi Yochanan holds that when a chatzar is mechayiv and meiser, so as soon as the lokeach, the guy who's buying it, cuts it off the tree, it's in the chatzar. So mele, it's going to be chayiv and meiser, right? Then, well, the man yamar lebayis, and if you say that like the sheet of Rabbi Yanai, that it only becomes chayiv meisos when it's in the bayis, so good. So then you could say that the branch of the tana tree is not branching over into the chatzar, but it's lebayis. It's branching over into the bayis. So as soon as he cuts it off the tree, it's already going to be chayiv. So frankly, Gemara, but if that's what we're talking about, yachi bala bayis nami nechayiv. Then why are we assuming that the Baal HaBayis snacking from it would be okay? That he's allowed to take it off the tree and he's allowed to eat from it. But wait a second, it's in the house. Once it's in the house, it's chayiv b'meisros. So how can you say that the Baal HaBayis is allowed to take from it, and therefore by extension, the Poel is also allowed to take from it? So it says, Gemara, Baal HaBayis einov b'teinoso, lokeach einov b'mecho. Very interesting. Two people can look at the same thing and see two different things. The Baal HaBayis looks at the tree that's primarily in the gina, but has some branches going over into the bayis, and he sees a tree that's in his gina. He sees a tree that's in his garden. He does not view that as something that's in the chatzar or the bayis. He views the chashivus as the tree itself, not any particular fruit. And therefore, even though when you cut off one fruit, it might be in the bayis already, the chiv on the fruits of this tree is only when you bring all of them into the bayis or into the chatzar. But when it comes to the poel, the lokeach rather, a lokeach is buying a fruit. He's buying an apple. So if there's a tree with an apple branching over into the bayis, his focus is not on the tree. He doesn't care about the tree. He cares about the apple that he's buying. And therefore, since that apple happens to be in either the chatzar or the bayis, it becomes chayiv and meiser as soon as he takes off the apple from the tree. So that's why there's a difference between the lokeach and the Baal HaBayis in that regard. So now the Gemara says, but wait a second, lokeach mi daraisa mi mechayiv? Is this true that on a daraisa level, a lokeach, someone who buys fruits that you grow, is chayiv and meisos min haTorah, that the Torah has to tell me kenafshecha, to tell me that a poel is pater from meisos, because generally a lokeach would be chayiv and meisos min haTorah? Vatanya, but don't we have a braisa that tells us otherwise about a lokeach? It tells us mimnei machar v'chanuyos shal be Hino. Why is it that the chanuyos of a certain place called Beis Hino were destroyed shalosh shanim kodem Yerushalayim, 3 years before the destruction of the rest of Yerushalayim? And the reason why 3 years, the Rishonim point out, is because 3 years is the Meiser cycle, because Miktzei shalosh shanim totzias kol Meiser tovascha b'shanahi v'nachta b'sharecha, the pasuk says. So 3 years, the Iyun Yaakov points out, not the Rishonim, the Iyun Yaakov points out, relates to Meisers in particular. Why were they destroyed 3 years prematurely? Because they were very makbid to only follow the Divrei Torah and not what the Rabbanan added to the Divrei Torah, what the Rabbanan were, the Gedarim that the Rabbanan made to the Divrei Torah. In what sense? Shayom, they used to say, Aser ta'aser v'yachalta, that the Pasuk says, Aser ta'aser v'yachalta, v'lo mocher, that someone who's selling his produce doesn't have to take maestros, minatorah. So they said, since there is such a din minatorah, we're going to follow that din minatorah, that a mocher is not obligated to take maestros. And then they darshened tvua sarecha, that the Pasuk says, tvua sarecha, that tvua that grows in your property, you chayiv take maestros, v'lo lokeach, but a lokeach, someone who purchases produce, is not obligated to take maestros. So the bottom line is, they were wrong in following only the dinei Torah. But in terms of their interpretation of what the Dinei Torah were, they were correct. So the Dinei Torah apparently are that a lokeach is anyway pater from Meiser. It's a din midrabanan that a lokeach has to take Meiser. So on a daraisa level, a lokeach is pater from Meiser. So how do we explain that Kenafshecha is teaching me that a poel is allowed to eat without taking Meisers, but a lokeach would not be allowed to eat without taking Meisers? Why would a lokeach not be allowed to eat without taking Meisers? A lokeach is not chayev at all in Meisers. Ella says the Gemara, you're right. Kenaf shecha that we're darshaning is midrabanan. V'kra asmachta b'alma. The idea that a lokech is not allowed to eat without taking maizos has to be a din midrabanan. The pasuk of kenaf shecha that we're quoting in that context is clearly only an asmachta. El kenaf shecha l'mayasa. So what is the actual drasha of kenaf shecha? If it's only an asmachta to teach me about the maizos, what's it actually teaching me? L'chadetanya. It's teaching me the following. Kenaf shecha, manaf what it's teaching me is that just like the Balabais, if he wants to muzzle himself and not eat anything while he's working in the field, so that's fine. He's pater from muzzling. He's not in violation of losachsum shor b'disho when he muzzles himself. So too, if he has a human worker, so while he's not allowed to muzzle an actual poel, he's allowed to hold him back from eating the fruits. It's not a violation of losachsum. It's not a violation of losachsum to hold him back from eating the fruits. Now, this idea that a mocher is pater from maestros, Tosfos points out over here on the bottom of Amud Aleph, rather, Tosfos points out that yes, a mocher is pater from maestros, but what if he's mocher and then he buys it back? So how do you look at that? Do you say, well, a mocher is pater from maestros and a lokech is pater from maestros on a daraisa level? So if he's mocher, then he buys it back, so he's a mocher and he's a lokech, but he's not the original guy, he's not the original bailu. Tosfos says no such thing. If he's mocher and then he buys it back midoraisa, he's chayiv in maestros. When he buys it back, he's considered the original bailu. So the question is, why is that the case? Meaning he was mocher, the transaction was valid, it didn't belong to him. So apparently the combination of having been the person who nurtured this produce and who grew the produce and who made sure, you know, saw it through from the beginning, and being the person who ends up with the end product, that's enough of a connection to make it as if he's the balabais all along. That we ignore the in between time where it was sold in between. The question is, what about other halachos? Do you have the same idea when it comes to other halachos? For example, the Rama writes in Yardei Simon Ayin Reish that someone who buys a sefer Torah min hashuk and is not magia bodover, he doesn't make any corrections and make any fixes. He buys a kosher sefer Torah, is not yotze the mitzvah of ksiva sefer Torah. So in the Tshuvas Pitzela Chachma Chelupe Simon Nun Beis, he says, what about the following case? What about a person writes a sefer Torah for himself, and for some he had to sell it because the Gemara says you're allowed to sell the sefer Torah. Lisa Isha Lulma Torah. He needed to pay tuition, so he had to sell the sefer Torah. And then his fortunes turned, and he was able to afford his kids graduated, so he didn't have to pay tuitions anymore. So what's he going to do with all the money? He wants to buy back his sefer Torah. So is he mekayim the mitzvah of ksiva sefer Torah? So do we assume that since he was the one that originally wrote it, so even though you're supposed to write it and keep it, so he already sold off the mitzvah, but maybe buying it back is not just like the stam a guy buying back a sefer Torah min hashuk. He's buying back his sefer Torah. So that's a b'tzal chachma said brings a right from our Tosfos, from our Gemara, that the guy, when it comes to the produce, it's if he was the one that grew it and then sold it and bought it back, it's considered like he's the bailim, not like he's a mocher or a lokeach who adin by a sefer Torah. That's what the b'tzal chachma suggests to make that connection. There's also a discussion when you give food to a guest, if someone's a guest at your table and you serve him food, whose food is that? meaning do we assume that the balabayis is makna the food to the areach and it belongs to the areach, or the balabayis is nosin rishus to the areach to eat it as much as he wants, but he's not makna the food? Right, you always want to, the person takes it on his plate. So what would happen if a person takes two pieces of chicken and he only eats one, a guest at your home, and he only eats one of them, and then he takes out a little bag and he puts the other one in the bag for later. So is that okay? Is he allowed to do that because you're makna to him, so it belongs to him? Or do we assume that no, that if you saw he didn't touch the chicken and you want to put it back, it's your rights to take it. He was allowed to eat whatever he wants to eat at your table, but he doesn't own it. Nafkamina might be for Pesach. There's a strong indication that matzah has to be lachem. So if matzah has to be lachem, so how does it work when you're a guest at somebody else's house? So there were those gedolim who were makbid to be makna the matzos to everyone at the table. But most people don't do that. They don't make a special kinyan announce that we're making a kinyan of the matzos to everyone at the table. So maybe it's an assumption that I'm being makna everything at the table. So this is a discussion in the achronim. Now in our sugya, the chiyuv of the maisos is on the balasada, lokech tvo mechaveros pata from maisos, because we said aser ta aser tvo asaracha, and chazal darshin v'lo lakuach. But midrabanan, the lokech is chayef to take maisos as well. Says the Rashba over here in our sugya that the patur that the Torah has v'lokech does not include an oreach. An oreach is chayev in maisos. A lokeach is not, but an oreach is chayev in maisos. So says the stipler, what you see from here is that the balabayis, when he gives to the oreach, he's giving the oreach rishus to eat, but not rishus to be kona. Because if it was rishus to be kona, then the oreach is the same as the lokeach. The fact that the Rashba distinguishes between an oreach and a lokeach tells you that they're different. The other nafkamina is in Ebene Ezer, and Simon Chav Ches, the Ramah writes, you're sitting at your table, and there's a nice young man at your table, a nice young lady at your table, and they both happen to be single, and the young man turns to the young lady with his piece of potato kugel from his plate, Hareyat Mekadesh Aslib Potato Kugel Zu Kadas Moshe Yisrael. And I accept, right? So is that, is she Mekadeshes? You have Edom there, you have Kasher Edom, is she Mekadeshes? Is it his? That's one of the first things Sadek Kedushin asks every Chassan, is this your ring? Did you bet? So is it his? So that's enough nafkamina in this discussion. Does it belong to the Arech? Does it not belong to the Arech? Says the Ramah, Mekudashas. So it sounds from there, from that Ramah, that he is Kona. Very different than what we're suggesting from the Rashba. So the Taz also points out from the Gemara Maseches Chulin, Daf Tzad Dal, the Gemara says that an Arech is not allowed to be Mechabed b'nei beso of the Me'arech, of the host, with all the food that's brought. You know, the Arech says he sees the cute little kids of the host running around, so he takes a little dessert off of his plate and gives it to the children of the host. Says the Gemara, you're not supposed to do that. So ask the Taz, why not? If she's Mekadeshes, if it's yours, you can do whatever you want with something that belongs to you. So the Gra suggest over there in the Shulchan Aruch that maybe that's different. Maybe that's a different halacha, because there's the Yamshel Shlomo quotes a whole maisa that's mentioned in Chazal of a person who in years of famine, and a person who was mosir nefesh to be able to host people, and he gave each person, let's say, an apple, and they saw this cute little kid of the host that didn't have what to eat, so that each three different guests gave the kid their apples, and they had nothing to eat, and the host comes and he sees his kid with an apple in each hand and one in his mouth. Oh, what are you doing? It's years of famine. We barely have enough food. And he claps the kid over the head and the kid dies. The wife gets so upset that he just killed the kid, she jumps off the roof and she dies. He gets so upset he just lost his whole family, he jumps off the roof and he dies. Why? Because someone decided to share their food with the kid. So based on that, we learn that you're not supposed to share your food with the kid. So maybe it has nothing to do with whether it belongs to you or not, some sort of takana that you never know how much damage is going to be caused by doing such a thing. Okay, but that's the major discussion in the Achron. Says the Gemara further over here. So Masav Marzutra, Ezu Gornon Lemaisros. So Marzutra asks further on the two shitos that we had before about whether it's bayis or chatzer that's kovei lemaiser. So what we have a brisa that says that what is a Mishnah rather, Maseches Maisros, that asks what is the goren for maiser where we assume that the peros are chayv maisros. So b'kishum b'gdulum mishei paksu v'am Rabbi Yasi mishei natal pikas shalehen, when the flowery end of the fruit starts to fall off. So my love me sheyipaksu afilu basada, doesn't that mean that even if it's happening in the field, so you see that even if it hasn't been in the bayis or the chatzer, it's already chayv maisos? Lo, mishei paksu bebayis. No, it means when it's happening in the house, but not in the field. Iyachi mishei paksu ad shei paksu bebayile. Well, then it shouldn't say mishei paksu as if it were saying some very early stage. It should say, no, even if it's in the house, it's not going to be chayiv until the flowery part starts falling off it. Ad shei paksu, meaning that we're actually saying a later stage than we otherwise would have thought. So itana ad shei paksu. Now, if it would have said such a lashon of ad, havamina ad degamer lepiku saihu, I would have thought that you have to wait until this part of the fruit falls off of every single one of the fruits that are in the house before the whole group of them becomes chayv and maestros. Kamash malan, mishe yipaksu, michias chule, piku sayu. That's what mishe yipaksu teaches us, that when they start to fall off, even though it's not the gemar piku sayu, just when they start to fall off, that's enough to be chayv and maestros, even when some of them start losing the pikus. So now the gemar is going to ask another kasha on the sheet of Rabbi Yochanan and the sheet of Rabbi Yanai about when the chiyuv of maestros begins, with either the bias of the chatzar, masav marzucha bered rav nachman garna lemaestros l'chayiv alav mishum tevel misha tigmar malachton. That when does it become chayiv? When does it become tevel? When does it become chayiv maestros? When it's gemar malacha, when you finish processing the produce. Ve'izu gemar malachton. When is that gemar malacha? What is the gemar malacha? Meleches hachnasasan. When you gather it all in together. My lav hachnasasan afil basada. Doesn't gathering it together not mean bringing it into the chatzar, bringing it into the house? It just means gathering it in the field, and it's already chayiv maestros. Says Gemara, lo, hachnasasan labayis, zeu gemar malachton. Maybe it means when you bring it into the house, or according to the sheet of the field, or if you say the chatzar, when you bring it into the chatzar, not hachnasa within the field. V'ibayisem, or another possible answer, kikam Rabbi Yanai b'zeisim va'anavim delav b'nei goren ninhu. Maybe Rabbi Yanai, who says that the chayiv of maestros only when you bring it into the house, was dafka talking about olives and grapes, where there is no goren, there is no gathering in the field. You just bring it right away into the house. But maybe Enochinami Rabbi Yanai would admit, aval chitin nesarin goren behediksiv bay. By chitin nesarin, it says goren explicitly in the pasuk. It says in the pasuk in Bamidbar Yudches, v'nechshav lachem trumaschem kadogan min hagoren. So you see clearly that goren is critical when it comes to grain. So maybe Enochinami Rabbi Yanai was talking about bringing it into the bayis when he's talking about zeisim vanovin, but when he's talking about grain, Enochinami out in the field, it already becomes chayv and maestros. Period. Now we go back to the discussion of what a person is allowed to eat while he's working in the field, and what an animal is allowed to eat while it's working in the field. So says Gemara, Ashkan Adam v'Mechubar v'Shar B'Talosh. From the Torah itself, we see. From the Pesukim itself, we see that a person is allowed to eat when he's working on that which is mechuber lakarka, and the shor is allowed to eat when he's working with that which is talush minakarka. Because we already quoted the Pesukim on Pesayin and Beis about a person b'mechuber, that was yesterday's daf, and shor b'talush, we learned because the Pesuk says, lo sachsum shor b'disho. Dash is something you do on that which is talush. So if you're not allowed to muzzle the animal when it's working on that which is talush, you see that the animal is allowed to eat when it's working on that which is talush. But Adam betalush minolin. How do we know the reverse? How do I know that a person is allowed to eat when he's working on that which is talush? Three possibilities. First, kal v'chomer mishar. Umashar sheinu achol b'mechubar achol betalush adam shachol b'mechubar einu din shachol betalush. If a shar, it doesn't say anywhere in the pasuk is allowed to eat from mechubar, even though we're later going to say he is. But it doesn't say anywhere in the pasuk that he's allowed to eat from mechubar. He is allowed to eat betalush. A person who's allowed to eat b'mechubar, all the more so should be allowed to eat betalush. Says Gemara, mal shar shekein atam mitzuval chasimah. No, maybe you can't bring kal v'chomer from shor, because by a shor you're not allowed to muzzle him. There's an isser to muzzle him, so we see that we're more lenient with what he's allowed to eat. By an adam, there's no isser on muzzling him. But why don't we say that there is an isser to muzzle a person from based on the same kal v'chomer from shor as follows? If a shor who you have no obligation to be mechayed the shor to make him live, You are obligated to, you have an isser to be chosim him. Adam shatam tzuvul achiyosin, adin shatam mitzuvul chasimaso. So a person who you have a din v'chayachi chayimach, all the more so you should not be allowed to muzzle him. Amakra k'nafshcha, k'nafsho shal poel. Ma nafsho im chasimaso pater, af poel im chasimaso pater. No, we already darshened that the poel is like yourself, just like you're allowed to muzzle yourself, you're allowed to muzzle your poel. So you can't say any such kal v'chomer. So we're back to the question, how do I know a person is allowed to eat when he's working on talush? Says Gemara, two other possibilities. Amar Kra, once we rejected the kal v'chomer, Amar Kra, kama kama beis pa'amin. It says kama twice in the pasuk. So one of the kamas was to teach me that an adam was working but mechubar is allowed to eat, but the extra one might be coming to teach me that an adam was working but talush is allowed to eat. Rabbi Ami Omar, a third possible drasha. Adam betalush lo tzarech kra. You don't need a pasuk about adam betalush. Ksiv kisavo bekerem reyacha. Milo askinan shescharu lekatef va'am rachman aleichel. Isn't it? Aren't we talking about where? Why did you bring this worker in to schlep the grapes? That's all he's doing. He's not harvesting the grapes. He's schlepping the detached grapes. And in that pasuk, it's talking that he's allowed to eat it. So we see that that an adam is allowed to eat betalush. Baruch Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with shor b'mechuber minalan. How do I know that a shor is allowed to eat when it comes to a mechuber? So Baruch Hashem, we'll start with that tomorrow.